Jesus invites us to change our lives. He invites us to change ourselves to become more like him. But sometimes, instead of changing ourselves, we want to try and change Jesus, don't we? But this morning, we're going to talk about that because Jesus gives us a great scripture. In fact, I'm going to have us do something we don't do every week, but I'm going to have you do it. Would you stand to your feet as we read the scripture this morning? We're going to read Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through the end of the chapter. Would you, you can just follow along with me on the screens, but I think we should stand for these words. Jesus says this. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who has built a house on the ground without a foundation. And when the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us. Today, as we come to look deeply at your word, we pray that you would speak to us, that you would reveal your truth to us. Jesus, this morning as we begin our time, we don't want to change you, but we say, Lord Jesus, would you change us in the areas that we need to change? Help us to be like that first man who built his house on the rock. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. Now, this morning, I want to continue talking about this scripture in a little bit more detail because there is a huge difference between calling Jesus your Lord and actually making him your Lord. And that's what I want to spend the remainder of our time talking about today. Sounds kind of a weird thing to say, but Jesus says this. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then don't do what I tell you to do?" It's as if Jesus is calling us out. We say, we give Jesus lip service and say, "Jesus, you're the Lord of my life." But when it comes to actually changing our lives, sometimes we don't surrender ourselves to him. And this morning, I want to talk about this idea of yielding ourselves, of surrendering ourselves fully to God. Because I would submit to you that each of us have areas of our lives that we fully surrender to God. Those of you who have been walking with Jesus a long time, there's a lot of your life that you've surrendered to God. But God is still working out this process. The Bible calls this process of sanctification, where Jesus wants to change us, wants to conform us more into his image and likeness day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. But it takes us surrendering. It takes us saying, "Jesus, I'm willing to do things your way because I believe that your ways are better than my ways. I believe what your word says is a little bit smarter than anything that I have to say on the subject of how to live my life," right? This is kind of the instruction manual, so I'm going to listen to what you have to say and do it your way. And this is one of the funny things in my life because many are who are close to me would say of me that, man, even from the time I was a little child, and I see this in my own children now, but I've always kind of had a way of just figuring things out. I was kind of self-confident, self-assured as a kid. I could just figure stuff out. My dad would try and teach me and say, "I got it, Dad. I'll show you how to do it." And I'd figure things out. And part of that had to do, there was a lot of things I had trouble figuring out, but many things, especially technical things, I just sort of figured things out. I just was an intuitive sort of learner. And so all my life, I kind of just figured things out. And I was the kid that would, you know, grab Dad's screwdriver and start taking my toys apart to figure out what was on the inside. And usually I'd get them back mostly the same, right? And they'd still kind of work, mostly. But I'd try and figure things out. And so there became a moment in my life, as many of you know my story, I met Jesus when I was in high school. And I came to faith in a church, and man, I heard about this Jesus, and he had a plan for my life that was different than the plan that maybe I had laid out for my life. And so I was left with this conflict of, man, I kind of know how to do things. I can figure it out. I'm an intuitive sort of person. But yet there's this God that says he's got a plan for my life, and he's got a way that he wants me to live my life. He's got something for me. And so I was left with this conflict. Jesus, am I going to do things my way, or am I going to do things your way? And it was an easy decision for me as I put my faith in Jesus, and I raised my hands that first time and said, "Jesus, I surrender to you. You're not holding a gun to my head, but I surrender. I raise my hands and surrender and say, Jesus, I want to do things your way." And let me just tell you, friends, that when we do it God's way, it's so much better than anything we could have ever come up with. He kind of has this thing figured out called life. He kind of knows the best way to live. And if we'll surrender ourselves to him, he'll change our lives in amazing ways. And so I would submit to you that this idea of yielding ourselves, of surrendering ourselves to God, in one hand can be the most unnatural thing in the world, right? I don't know about you, but I like to take the steering wheel of life. I like to be in control of what I'm doing with my life. So it feels unnatural, but yet on the other hand, it's the most natural thing that we could ever do this side of eternity. Because, of course, the Bible declares and we believe that we were made for an intimate and close relationship with God. You were made to walk in relationship and communion with Almighty God. He wants you to walk in that sort of relationship. And so, though it feels unnatural to let go of control and to say, Jesus, you be my Lord, you be the captain of my ship. Don't you know that on a ship, there's only one captain? But sometimes in our lives, we say, Jesus, be the captain, but, oh, wait, hold on, there's a storm coming. Hold on, got out of the way, Jesus. I'll take over for a moment. But that's when we need to say, Jesus, I want you to be the captain. I want you to be that sort of person. And Jesus gives us this picture of two different sorts of lives, of one sort of life that's built on a firm foundation and one that's just built on the ground. And both of them look good from the outside. Both of them are probably beautiful homes. But one endures when trials and tribulations come. The other does not. See, Jesus doesn't give us 1,000 options. Sometimes when a thing comes to life, we think of this as being one of 1,000 choices. I can follow Jesus, I can do this, I can do that, blah, blah, blah. But Jesus gives us a binary option. He says it's either or. You either build your house on a rock, or you build it on the sand, or on the soil, or on the dirt with no foundation. He says you do things my way, or you do things your way, right? You do it one way, or you do it the other. There is no other options. And Jesus gives us this picture of two houses. I want you just to imagine, maybe in your mind, just two houses standing side by side, one built on a firm foundation, a great rock, and another built on the sand. And he gives us these two different options, one that's built, again, deep down on that bedrock foundation that doesn't move when the streams come. And the streams are going to come, by the way. Jesus doesn't say, hey, you know, if you build it on the rock, there's going to be no streams, there's going to be no storms. He says, when the stream comes, when the storm comes, one that's been built on that firm foundation is going to endure. But then he gives us this picture of this other house that's built on a squishy foundation, one that moves around when the wind starts to blow. And it says, great was its fall. And these two houses represent for you and for me, they represent two different ways of doing life. One way that's built on the firm foundation of what God has called us to do on his word. It's rooted and grounded on those things. And another that says, I'm going to do things my way, Jesus. I'm going to figure this out my own. And you and I, we need to build the foundation of our lives, Jesus says, on something that's secure. We need to build the foundation of our relationships, of our marriages, on something that's secure. We need to build the foundation of our personal finances on something that's secure, something that's stable, all of those areas. And Jesus gives us the blueprints for building a house like that first house. I don't know about you. I want that first kind of house, don't you? The house that doesn't fall over when the first wind comes. The house that doesn't fall over when California quakes with another earthquake. You know what I mean? I want that sort of house, a house that is secure. So how do we do that? We have to build a foundation through these three simple words. In fact, I'm going to have you read them with me. Ready? Come, hear, do. Say them one more time. Say, come, hear, do. Jesus gives us this framework. He says those are the three things we've got to do if we expect to build a house on a firm foundation. Let's talk about those one at a time. The first is this. Jesus says to build my life on the rock, the first thing I've got to do is I've got to come to Jesus. I got to have a come to Jesus moment, not just metaphorically, but I've got to come to Jesus. I've got to stand before God. And to build our lives on something solid, the first step is for us to admit, to acknowledge, Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, I need you. I need to have my life on something that's firm, that is steady, that won't move. And the Bible is very clear that you and me will each stand before God, that every one of us will stand before Almighty God, a holy and righteous God, and we will give an accounting for how we lived our lives here on earth. Now, the good news for those of us that have put our trust in Jesus, it's not based on our righteousness, but on his. But the most important question that we'll have to give an accounting for is this one simple question. What have you done with Jesus Christ? Have you put your trust in him? Have you put your faith in him? Or have you heard his name and thought, that sounds like a cool idea, but I'll put you aside on the shoulder, Jesus? Have you made him your Lord? Or have you just heard his name maybe on 1,000 occasions and thought, that's a cool name. That's a cool story, Jesus, but I'm not so sure. Did you, like that wise man, choose to build your life on the firm foundation that can't be shaken? Or did you instead hear the words of Jesus? Did you come to him? Did you listen to his words? And then go out about your lives and make no changes, not do what he said to do? It's like we can follow Jesus on Twitter, right? Following Jesus. Jesus, I followed your Instagram post. I really like that picture with the loaves and the fishes. That was really cool. I gave you a love on Facebook, right? Not just the like. I went one step above. I gave you the love, right? And then the thumbs up on the next one, right? I'm a fan of Jesus. But Jesus says that's not what it's about. Those two men, those two different houses, they start the same, don't they? They come to Jesus and they hear his words, but one just goes in one ear and out the rest, right? You go out the other ear. The other one says, Jesus, I want to do something different. I want to change. I want to live my life in such a way that transforms me. See, to come to Jesus is to admit our need for him in our lives. It's to say, Jesus, I need you. One of my favorite psalms, I've got so many favorite psalms that's almost redundant, but one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 61, verses 1 through 3, and this is actually a picture of our beautiful city. It says, hear my cry, O God, and listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. See, for God to be our refuge, for him to be a safe place, is for us to acknowledge that he is the rock that is higher than I, that he is that firm foundation that we need to find refuge in, and his ways ultimately are above my ways. That I don't put this book and put it underneath me, but I put it above me, and I say, Lord Jesus, I want to do my life your way, because I believe your ways are higher than mine, your ways are better than mine, your ways are altogether more informed than mine, because I've got kind of limited perspective, don't I? Don't you? We both do. So to build my life on the rock, the first thing I've got to do is come to Jesus. That's the simple part. The second thing I've got to do is hear his voice and actually listen. Don't you know that you can hear something without listening? Like you can listen to a message and not really pay attention. Like some of you are like, Pastor, I'm doing that right now. Right? No one in here would do that. But seriously, the fact is that with our brains, we have this unique ability as human beings to tune things out. Maybe things we've seen before, we think, oh, I don't need to see that again, right? For example, many of you drove in your cars over here this morning. How many stop signs did you notice? How many crosswalk signs did you see? How many of those red stop hands did you notice? A lot of you might have seen them, but you didn't really process them. Your brain just kind of saw them and moved past them as you drove on your street. How many speed limit signs did you see? Some of you didn't see any. Some of you, I know I've seen you. I'm praying for you. But Jesus says the same thing is true in our lives. We can see without seeing, and we can hear without hearing. And if we're not careful, we can use that same sort of process in our minds to just ignore, tune out the voice of God. It's like our car radio. There's radio waves all around us, but we have to turn it up if we want to hear what God is saying. And Jesus calls us to hear his voice and actually listen with intention. And then he uses this phrase that we've got to dig deep. Say, dig deep. We got to dig deep. This is what he says, Luke 6:48. He says, he is like a man, that first man, a man who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream broke against that house, it could not shake it because it had been well built. It'd be so easy in our pursuit of Jesus to simply go to a conference or go to a church service and say yes to Jesus and put the Jesus flag up, raise it up the flagpole, and then just sit back. The beauty of God's grace is we don't have to earn his favor, but the reality is what Jesus says, man, if we're saved, if we've given our life to him, if we've made him our Lord, it's going to change us. It's not about fixing our lives before we come to Jesus, but it is something that he wants to change us. Now, I have to admit something. It might sound like a tangent, but I'm a Californian, and I love the beaches of California, but I get kind of irritated at the beaches. Can I just admit that publicly? Here's why. I love the beach. You go out to the beach, and you have the beautiful vistas, right? Beautiful scene and the flowing sand, right? And that cool ocean breeze just pressing against your face. It's so nice, right? By the way, that's one of the reasons I love living in Simi Valley. It's like Death Valley on daytime, but then in the evening we get that heavenly, I call it God's air conditioning just comes in. It's so heavenly, I love it. But when you go to the beach, the thing that frustrates me is that I sit down, first of all, I've got 5 sand tornadoes that are all around me now. And so I can't sit there without sand getting everywhere, right? For months, I'm vacuuming sand out of the vehicle to make sure that we don't have any more. But the part that frustrates me is that I always want to sit in the shade. I don't know, I'm a weird guy. I like to sit in the shade when I'm in the beach. And so I look around and I survey the land and I see there's like that one guy that's got his umbrella and it's not moving. And I'm like, I can do that, right? So I get my beach umbrella and I shove it down in the sand as hard as I can and I sit down. And it never fails. I'll pull out a book. I know it's a dream that I can read at the beach with 5 kids, but I pull out a book and I sit down and I'm like, this is so nice. And it never fails. Gust of wind comes, right? And all of a sudden I'm sitting there and I see my umbrella go flying off into the distance, right? And I always think next time I'm going to dig a little bit deeper with that stupid umbrella thing or get one of those screws that all those guys have that are cool. But I never do it, and it never fails. If only I dug deeper, I think to myself. But Jesus tells us that if we want our lives to be unmoved by the wind, we have to do just that. We have to dig deep. We have to dig deep, and not just deep in the sand, but dig all the way down to where there's bedrock. And lay the foundation of our lives on something that's not going to be moved at every gust of wind and every wave that crashes through. But to have a life that will not be shaken no matter what happens to us or around us. And digging deep into this book is the reason we began 2018 with a challenge to our church family to get into this book. To spend every day in this book reading and hearing the Word of God and applying it to our lives. And I just want to challenge you. That was a 21-day challenge, but if you've fallen off that challenge wagon, so to speak, and you've stopped doing your reading, start today. Dig deep in your life and say, Lord Jesus, I want to learn from you. I want to build my life on the rock. We've got reading plans in the lobby. There's ways you can follow along in your bulletin. There's a number you can text and actually have it sent to you, but we've got to come to Jesus and listen to what he says. And that implies action on our part. I've got to listen to him. And thirdly, Jesus gives us this picture. He says to build our lives on the rock, we finally have to do the most important part of it. We can't just come to him. We can't just listen to what he has to say. But at some point, we've got to start doing what he's called us to do. We've got to start reorienting our lives towards his word and the gospel. And this is where, as they say, the rubber meets the road. When I find myself at conflict with Jesus and his teaching, with the Bible and what God tells me to do, and I find myself saying, Jesus, I've been going this way with my life, and you're telling me to go this way. There's a point that I have to make a decision to reorient my life, the trajectory of my life, the direction of my life, and say, God, I've been doing it my way, but now I'm willing to say, Jesus, I'm going to turn around and do it your way. And that's a big step. It could be in a number of different ways. It could be in our relationships. You say, Jesus, man, I've just learned that, man, with those people that hurt me, I just spit in their faces. I just turn my life away from them. I just hold them unforgiven. And your word says that I'm supposed to pray for those people who hurt me. I'm supposed to forgive those who offend me. I'm supposed to pray even for those that are attacking and persecuting me. Jesus, I've been going this way, but I'm willing to turn around to reorient my lives and start doing what you called me to do. Could be in so many other areas. But that decision comes in all of our lives when we have to choose after hearing the words of Jesus whether we're going to do it. Because Jesus says, many come to me and they say, Lord, Lord. They call him Lord, yet they have not made him Lord. And this can be true. This is the false idea that we have that, man, I trust the gospel. I put my trust in Jesus, so I'm done. It's a one and done thing, sometimes we think. But the reality is that sometimes there's areas of my life where I'm not fully trusting in Jesus. I haven't surrendered those things to him. I haven't yielded myself to him. Jesus says, many come to me and say, Lord, Lord, but they don't do what he's calling them to do. They say, Jesus, your way sounds interesting, but I think I'm going to go my way. I think I'm going to do it my way. This is true in every area of our lives. It could be the way we deal with people. Do we walk in forgiveness? Do we demonstrate grace and love? Or do we take some of what Jesus has to say? Do we take his grace for us, but we don't apply his grace for them? Do we take some of Jesus and not all of Jesus? This can apply to the way we spend our money. Do we handle our finances the way that God calls us to? Do we live generously towards others? Do we give and sow into the kingdom? Or do we use our money as some sort of false safety net and put our trust in money instead of putting our trust in God? It could be the way we think about our sexuality. Do we handle things the way that God's word gives us clear direction to? Or do we just do what feels right or what our culture says is appropriate? Do we do things his way or do we do things our way? Could also be true of the way we steward and invest our gifts. You know, that God has given you gifts. He's made you with a purpose. And some of us, we use our gifts and we just use our gifts not to advance and bless the kingdom of God, but we use our gifts just to advance myself and my own needs. Never serving our church or serving in our community group or serving in our world with our God-given gifts. See, making Jesus our Lord is more than just a confessional statement. And I believe sometimes we think that this decision to follow Jesus is just a confessional statement. It's just a belief I've got. But Jesus gives us a different picture. He says that, man, if we put our trust in him, if we make him Lord over our lives, then it's going to affect us. It's going to change what we begin to desire. He wants to give you a new heart. And he'll begin to change the things we do with our lives as well. See, we're quick to say, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. Yet, Jesus gives us this reminder that as we look at the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror, it's our choice to say, Jesus, do I look like what you want me to look like? And am I willing to change when you ask me to change? See, friend, God calls us to surrender our lives. Jesus says some pretty astounding things we're going to get to as we go through the Gospel of Luke more and more. Jesus calls us to take up our cross, to die to our old way of life, and to live to this newness of life that he has for us. And all of that begins with this choice. Jesus, I've come to you. I've heard your voice. Now will I do what you've asked me to do? And that's the question. Let me make you a promise, though, that as we begin to surrender our will for his, our ways for his, he changes us and he does amazing things in our life. And our life will be so much better. As we conclude, I want to give you one final word from Jesus from Matthew's gospel. And I want to remind you of the good news of the gospel. Matthew 7:21, Jesus says this in a scripture that can be terrifying if we're honest. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Friends, Christianity is not just a religious system that tells you what to do and do not do, although God does give us some clear instructions for how to live our life the best way possible. Christianity, when we boil it down, is about the God of the universe declaring that he wants to have an intimate and close relationship with each one of us. See, what Jesus says at the end of all things, he doesn't say, you didn't do anything I want. He said, I don't know you. And the reality of this is that Jesus wants to know us. He wants to know you. See, the Bible declares that he has the hairs of your head numbered. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you, but he wants to know you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to have that close and abiding relationship with himself. You were made to know God and be known by him. See, coming to church is a great way to grow in your knowledge of God, to hear the word of God declared, to be reminded of the truth maybe you already know. Coming to your community group is a great way to grow in relationships with other people, and I encourage you to do both things. But if that's all you're doing, and you don't have this close and abiding relationship with Jesus, let me just say, stop. Stop doing and get to know Jesus. Come to him. Listen to what he has to say to you. Open his word and read what he's speaking to you. And then make the active, conscious decision, Lord Jesus, I'm at conflict with your word, but I choose to do what you called me to do because ultimately I trust that you're God and I'm not. You're kind of smart and I'm kind of dumb a lot of times, right? God, I need to know what you want for me, so I choose to submit myself to you. See, here's the truth, my friends. Each and every one of us, we miss the mark. The Bible uses the word sin, and that literally means to miss the mark. It's as if we're aiming our arrow and we miss the target. Maybe we overshoot it. Maybe we undershoot it. Maybe we're pointed the wrong direction, right? We're just goofing around and we miss the target. But the good news of the gospel is this, that God doesn't wait for us to have all of our sin fixed. He doesn't wait for us to have all of our stuff perfected and our righteousness complete. He loves us right where we are, and he invites you to come as you are to begin that relationship and that journey of faith. See, God loves you as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you as you are. He wants to change your life. He wants to help you be set free from the sin that maybe you struggle with, the ways you're still missing the mark. God wants to do that in your life. Will you come to Jesus today? Will you draw near to him? Will you make the decision, Jesus, I don't want to tune you out anymore. I want to hear your voice. And yeah, that comes through hearing the word, but it also comes through opening his word and listening to what he has to say. And finally, will you make the decision to not just come, not just hear, but to do. Jesus, I want to do what you called me to do. I want to do life your way because I trust that ultimately your ways are the best ways. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we respond to the Lord through prayer? We thank you, Lord, for your word, which is living and active. We believe, Lord, that you are at work. We thank you, Father.
I think today that God was reminding us of the simplicity of our walk of faith. It begins by simply acknowledging our need for Jesus and drawing near to him in faith by coming to him first. And most important, that's our most important step in our journey of faith. And in just a few moments, if that's you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to Jesus for the first time. But before we get there, I want to speak to those of you who already have a relationship with Jesus. And perhaps as we open God's living and active word this morning, maybe he's stirred in your heart and reminded you of an area that you've not been listening to his direction for your life. You've heard him, but you haven't listened to him. You haven't actively done that. Perhaps you're like the second man in the story today. You've come to Jesus, you've heard his word, but now you find yourself struggling to surrender to him and actually do what he's calling you to do. It could be in any of the ways that Pastor Brian mentioned, or it could be in some other way. That's between you and the Lord. Perhaps God is asking you to surrender him, to make him Lord over your relationships. You've not been handling them maybe with grace and love as Jesus has asked you to do. And today you're ready to finally make that change. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe God has reminded you of the fact that he wants to be Lord over your finances too. And he wants you to live generously towards others or to begin sowing into the kingdom or some other aspect of finances. Maybe for you, it's your sexuality. Perhaps God's reminding you today that he wants to be Lord over that and to teach you to handle yourself in the ways that he says are best. Maybe you've tried to overcome addiction of some sort in your own power. But even there, God wants to help you change. You can't do it on your own, but with him, you can do anything. Maybe it's your gifts. Maybe he's reminding you that every gift that you have, that he's given you, your abilities, your talents, they're meant to be used to make a difference in his kingdom for eternity. Or maybe it's some other area that I haven't even mentioned this morning. But he wants you, and he's asking you, and you know what that area is. He's asking you to surrender to his lordship, not just to call him, okay, Jesus, you're my savior, but to actually come to him and hear him and then do what he says. So if there's some area in your life that you feel like the Lord is kind of pointing out and saying, right here, you haven't surrendered this yet, I just want us to take a moment to respond. So if that is you, just open your hands up in a motion of surrender to the Lord, to say, Lord, I'm going to surrender this area to you. And in your mind, you can just name whatever that is. And I want to pray over you guys. Psalm 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. My prayer is that God does reveal things in us that he wants to set us free from, because he can do that. He can set you free. I love Psalm 51:10. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We've all missed the mark. We've all lived wrongly. We've all followed those wrong paths. But just like David in that psalm, we can cry out to God and say, create in me a clean heart, God. So right now, if that's you, I want to pray over you. Open your hands up, and we're just going to pray. Our Heavenly Father, I just come before you right now, Lord. I thank you for each one that is responding to your Holy Spirit's voice inside of them right now. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal the areas that all of us have not made you Lord, those certain areas of our life that we've tried to compartmentalize and say, no, 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 I got this. Lord, right now, would you help us to surrender those areas to you? Would you give us the strength to overcome our own desires, Lord? And would you give us grace when we do mess up, Lord? But more than anything, God, I pray that you would help us to come to you continually, to constantly hear what you have to say to us, Lord, so that we can do what it is that you've asked us to do, Lord. We surrender all of these things to you, and we thank you, Lord, that through you anything is possible, and through you freedom comes. So, Lord, we ask for freedom from those things right now in Jesus' name, and we ask that you would just help us to walk out in newness of life, all the things that you have for us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with every eye still closed and every head bowed, maybe you're one of those people this morning that you have never acknowledged Jesus as Lord. You have never received his free gift of mercy and grace for your sins. And you need to take that first step of faith today to receive God's free gift of forgiveness for the very first time. Jesus said it clearly, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you to my Father in heaven. But he said, if you don't, I won't. So there's something important about agreeing with someone here about it. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm not going to have you come up front. I'm just going to simply have you raise your hand. Let our eyes meet so that I can see you. Will you say yes to Jesus this morning? You're not here by accident. I believe God brought some of you here this morning for just this. So if you haven't been walking in a relationship with Jesus and you need to admit your need for his forgiveness for your past, your need for his power for your today, and your need for eternal life in your future, I'm going to have you pray with me. And if that's you, would you just be bold enough to lift up your hand this morning and let me know that you want to ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. You want to come, you want to hear, and you want to do. Amen. Let's go ahead, and I just want to pray a prayer of blessing, and then I think they're going to lead you in one more song. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Lord, would you be with each one that is here, Lord? Would you help us to hear your voice? Would you help us to come to you constantly? Would you help us to hear everything that you have to say to us, Lord, and to walk out and do, Lord? Would you give us the strength to do all that you have called us to do? Lord, I ask a special blessing on each one as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing like never.
Your name, Lord. Hallelujah to you, God.